Good morning, guys. Fall is a busy time. Lots of stuff going on and lots of things to try to keep you in the loop on. So a few other things in addition to the video. We have typically this month, we would have a fall outreach event. You've been asking about it. And we, because the building is going to be opening in springtime, we're going to push our outreach event towards the spring. So that doesn't keep you from doing something to reach out to people at all, okay? Not at all. But in terms of our doing something collectively, we're looking at the spring for that. So just make a mental note of that. Secondly, we're talking about groundbreaking. And I don't know if you've been driving out there. It's interesting to hear some of you, as you have been. They've poured the footings and things are happening. Well, they've suggested, and we think it's wise, that it might be wiser for us to have that time of kind of groundbreaking, if you will, when the roof's on. And it'll be... We'll continue to do what we said we were going to do, hand you guys some markers, and we're just going to write prayers on the walls and those kind of things so that when we're in there, you know, our prayers and our expressions of praise and thanks are in the walls themselves. We're going to do that in January. It'll be a little cooler, but it'll be drier because we'll have a roof over our heads, and it probably will be easier to park. So just hang on. We'll give you a date for that as it's coming up. And then thirdly, related, and that is we are about 80% of the way through the campaign that we all entered into so that we could build this building. And the bank asks me every month, they say, we need to see the numbers for how the campaign's going. And so I pass them along. And many of you are 80% of the way into your gift. And some of you are at 100. And believe it or not, some of you are past 100, which is amazing. I'm just thankful for that. I know others of you are either one, the way it was, the timing of it's you're a little behind, but you plan to catch up, and I'm just encouraging you to do that because I want our bank to be happy that we are a good customer of theirs, and we're going to honor the things that we said that we're going to do. So just a little word to the wise on that. And then lastly, Right Now Media. Remember, that's the free resource that we've given you guys that you're loving, which is wonderful, but there's so many out there, kind of the Netflix of spiritual growth. Where do you start? Well, we have the High Point Preferred List, and so you can go on there now, look for it on the left-hand side, and we suggest 6 different videos that you might want to start to help kind of be a catalyst to the spiritual growth in your life, okay? That's it. Enough with the information dump. I'm going to ask if you would. Let's all get our Bibles open to our table of contents or our Bible apps open, and I want us to find, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. I'm going to ask you to find, we're going to go back to the book that we looked at last week because we have some unfinished business. The 4th book down in the New Testament is the book of John. And I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 15. And I'm going to remind you, last week, if you recall, we have been in a message series about growing authentic relationships. And we're saying the first relationship needs to be with God. How do we grow an authentic relationship with God? And in that relationship, we started by saying that God actually pursues us. He comes to us. He reaches out to us to be in relationship with him. And so we've been going through and looking at what all is involved in that. And last week, I read to you my favorite verse of all the scripture. I think in a soundbite that this is what a relationship with Jesus is all about, what our spiritual lives are all about. And I'll read it to you again. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. And we kind of looked at that, and the critical part in this, first off, Jesus is talking to farmers. A lot of them are farmers. So he's using this kind of agrarian analogy so they can really understand and kind of sink their minds into what's going on. And what he says there is it's a powerful promise. It's a promise. You will bear much fruit if something happens. And the two things that have to happen, and they're both very important. And we spent most of the time talking about the first one. And that is Jesus said, if you remain in me. And we spent last week talking about what does that mean as far as our part in this connection. If we remain in Christ, that's an important part of this. But not to forget the other side. And Jesus says, and I remain in you. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And with that, this is critical that we understand the I remain in you. Because in our relationship with God, you would expect it to be different, right? Wouldn't you just if you step back for a minute and just think about a relationship with God, a relationship with our Creator, you would expect it to be different. Different than any other relationship we have. It just seems logical. And why is that? Because God is different than anybody else. What makes him different? A lot of things make him different, but the thing I want to focus on this morning is that God is supernatural. He is outside of time. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. And so he's different. He's supernatural. And for that reason, you would expect our relationship with God to be supernatural. Now, here's my question, and I'm not going to say it too quickly. I'm not going to move off of it too swiftly. Is your relationship with God supernatural? To those of you in here who are followers of Christ, and I know not everyone is, but to those that are, would that describe your relationship? Is there the supernatural in your relationship with God? Because I think too many people in the relationship with God, they have kind of a two-dimensional one. There's the moral and there's the mental. Let me flip it around and start with the mental. The mental is that one believes a relationship with God is ascribing to a set of beliefs. And it's from those beliefs, so that's the mental, it's from those beliefs comes the moral. In light of what I believe, now I'm going to live a certain way, and I'm going to do the best I can to be the best person I can be. And that's kind of where it ends. There's not really a supernatural component to it. There's the moral and there's the mental. Doesn't sound really supernatural, does it? And here's why it matters that we understand this. Because if the supernatural is missing in your relationship with God, you really don't have a relationship with God. What you have is, and get this is important, what you have is religion. When you're putting forth the mental and the moral in your own strength, in your own willpower, in your own energy, what you have, my friends, is you have religion. You have the I remain in him down. You've got that down. But what's missing is when Jesus says, and I remain in you. That's missing. And what you have is religion. And may I remind you that Jesus' harshest words were not for the murderers, the thieves, the adulterers. They were for the religious. That's who he encountered and engaged in debate, and who he condemned and who he warned were the religious. And so this morning, we're going to kind of focus in on when Jesus says, and I'm in you. And what's really interesting is I know some of you in here, as I used to be a long time ago, some of you in here really don't have a faith in God, or maybe you don't even believe God exists. Or maybe you tried faith out one time and you got burned by it, and you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. Here's the amazing thing. Some of you, you see it just the same way Jesus saw it. You are turned off completely and entirely by religious people because you've seen from out of that comes spiritual arrogance, hypocrisy, and judgmentalism. I remember when I was not a follower of Christ, I remember seeing in people this go to church on Sunday and then be just like me and do, you know, things that get you in trouble during the week, and then go to church on Sunday and kind of like as if you got all cleaned up to go right back out and do this. And it just didn't make sense to me. And so those of you in here that are, I don't know if you've been drug here, and you're just being a good husband or a good wife, or you're just trying to make people happy. You don't want to stir the water. Or maybe you're here because God's been drawing you, and there's a sense that something is happening in your life, and you're not sure what that is. And I would just ask you, would you please consider when you think of people like that, how close you are to Jesus in that way, and that you would listen maybe with a new set of ears today to what we're really trying to get at, what really matters, and what I think, what changed me, I pray would change you. Because what happened to me is I ran into people when I was in college who had both working. They were remaining in Christ, and Christ was in them. And that changed me, that drew me in. And I hope and pray that would happen to somebody in here this morning. So what we're going to do is we're really going to dial into that where Jesus says, and I in him. Because if we can understand that, we'll understand the supernatural. And that will change everything. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to answer first the question, what do we mean by supernatural? What is the supernatural? What are we talking about? Then I want to ask the second question, that is, how do I know if this has happened to me? How do I know if I have the supernatural, that or the supernatural has happened? And then thirdly, is how do I sustain that? How does that continue to be a regular occurrence in my relationship with God? So those are the three questions we're going to kind of look at. The first one, again, is what do we mean by supernatural? Okay, well, for that, I'm going to ask you to maybe turn your Bibles from John chapter 15. Go a few pages. Let's go to John chapter 3. We're going to pick up Jesus. He has a wonderful encounter with someone just like many of you in here or like maybe many of us were. He has this encounter with a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now, what that means is he was a professionally religious person. He knew the Old Testament cold. And because he knew it, and he was well-educated, he held a high place of prominence in society. People aspired to be like him and the group that he was a part of, the Pharisees. And they had down cold the if I remain in him, in Christ. In other words, they had their effort. They were making things happen. They were doing things to be the person that they thought they needed to be to get from God what they wanted from God. They had that down. Which, remember what I said, Jesus went after them the hardest. And so with that in mind, Nicodemus goes on a little reconnaissance. Verse 1, chapter 3. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night. He didn't want his buddies seeing this going down. And said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? We've got to stop there. He is playing out his part so well here. Jesus confronts him, and his whole life, which has been predicated, founded upon what he could do to make things happen. And Jesus throws out this birth explanation. And he stops him cold in his tracks. And what does Nicodemus do? He plays his part well. He immediately thinks, okay, I've made everything else happen, spiritually speaking, in my life. How do I make this happen? And he kind of pictures, that just can't happen. And we have people like that here today. You've been making your religion happen. You've been putting forth all kinds of effort in order to please God in hopes that you would have his favor. And Jesus wants to stop you in your tracks there. He wants to say, you think you're getting closer, but you're getting further. You think you're getting closer to me, but you're getting further from me. And so he just stops Nicodemus in his tracks. Because Nicodemus is a smart guy. And I love the fact that Jesus uses this birth explanation. Because Nicodemus knows that he had no say in the gender he was born. No say to the family he was born. No say to the time in he was born. No say to the area, the region. Where he had nothing, nothing he could do at all impacted his birth. It all happened to him. And that's where Jesus wants him. He wants him to think and to contemplate and to consider. But Nicodemus, what you ask about and what I am telling you about, you cannot make happen. And then he says that you are born of the Spirit, or the one born of the Spirit is Spirit. So here we start to see the supernatural in play. Here we see the Spirit of God doing something to the life of the person that Jesus is talking about, to which their spirit now changes. And that, my friends, is the supernatural. And we'll describe it a little bit more, but that's the first understanding of what I mean by supernatural. It is being born again. That is a supernatural experience. And so I think the first thing worth writing down here is that a supernatural relationship with God is something that happens to you. You don't make it happen. It happens to you. You can't force it. You can't make it happen. Nicodemus couldn't, and you can't either. So the second question was, well, then how do you know if it's happened? If I can't make it happen, how do I know if it's happened to me or not? Well, the way that you know that it's happened to you is that you come to a place in your life where you confess your moral and spiritual desperation and you surrender control of your life to Christ. That is when you know that you've been born again, that humility floods your life, that the brokenness in your life just becomes too difficult to manage. Let me take it out of the spiritual for a minute. Let's go to the physical world. Let's go to the 12 steps of AA, a phenomenally successful program that has brought people out of addiction and into sobriety. And the first three steps of the 12 steps, the first step number one in Alcoholics Anonymous is that you have to recognize that you are powerless against alcohol and that your life is unmanageable because of it. You have to come to realize, I'm broken. Any shred in your thought process that you can somehow pull yourself out of this will keep, even if it's 1% of you, will keep you from sobriety. It'll keep you from freedom. It's not till you're utterly and completely at that point where you go, I have no power over alcohol, none. And I see that in my life, it is chaos. It is careening out of control. And then step number two is you realize that you need a power that is greater than yourself because you've not been able to do it. And then the third step is you turn to God and you surrender control over to God. And that begins you on this journey towards sobriety. Well, now let's bring it back into our spiritual lives. It's not until you and I, what happens to us? Well, what happens to us is we come to this reality, this realization that we are powerless over the brokenness in our lives. And our lives are unmanageable because of that. And we need someone. We need a Savior. And that is what it means to have the supernatural element and component in your life. Because that is a supernatural occurrence, my friends. Because we are all born. We come out of the womb with pride and wanting control and call the shots and be the captain, king, and CEO of our lives. And so it takes something supernatural to happen for you to be rid of that thought. Now, let me go to one other area. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, let me give you one other verse of scripture that will help round out a little bit this idea. What is it? What is the supernatural that we're talking about? So for that, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, listen to what Paul says. He says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. That is an alarming verse. That is a shocking verse. Because notice what Paul does. He makes a connection between drunkenness and being under the influence and control of the Spirit. I mean, that's pretty provocative. That'll grab your attention. But I think it's masterful in the point that he's making. What he's saying is, and we can relate to this. I think most of us in here could probably say, yeah, we probably had a little bit more one night. And from that experience, we kind of gave control over and influence in our lives over to alcohol or something else. And we had this liquid courage, we had liquid stupidity, whatever you want to call it. We did things that we regretted the next morning. Like, I can't believe I did that. And what Paul is saying, the supernatural part of having a relationship with Christ, the where Jesus says, and I'm in you part, that really second part that's really important that we're talking about this morning, what that is the Spirit of God comes inside of you and has control and influence over your life. You don't. You've surrendered that. You've let go of that. And so Paul makes this powerful point that something happens to you. And that something is the brokenness and the conviction that my life's a mess. And what follows that is the Spirit of God comes inside of me, something happens to me again, and now I come under the control and influence of the Spirit of God. And Paul says to be filled. Now, what's really interesting about that, a couple things. One is, it's a command. It's a command to you and it's a command to me. So what Paul is saying, or God through Paul is saying, that we have some part in this filling. We have some part in that. We can't just put that on to somebody else. We have some part in the filling, but also notice that it's not just a command, it's a passive command. He doesn't say, go fill yourself. He doesn't say that, right? That's what Nicodemus would do. That's what we do when we are on that one side that says, I'm going to remain in you, Jesus. I'm going to put forth my effort, my willpower. Here I go. No. No, this is the Jesus part that says, and I'm in you. This is the part that says, to be filled is something that you have to allow to happen to you. It has to happen to you. You have to be open to it. You have to be ready for it. Let me take it out of the be filled, and let's put it into something we might understand a little bit. Imagine if, David, imagine if someone said to you and commanded you, David, be loved. You'd be frustrated with that command. You're like, okay, I mean, I can try to love myself, you know, but that only would get me so far. I need somebody else to do that. So how do you fulfill the command to be loved? Well, you become lovable. You make yourself attractive to somebody else through your kindness, through your generosity, through your openness, through your vulnerability. You do these things so that you attract one who wants to love you. That's what it means to be filled. How do we be filled? We be fillable by being open to and accepting of the things of God, the Spirit of God. And actually, last week, spent a fair amount of time on this, so I'm going to refer to this idea of being fillable. I'm going to say go back and look at last week's, because that's really what we talked about last week. But here's the point I want to make from this, and I'm going to move on. Though you can't do the filling, my friends, you can make yourself fillable, okay? So what are we talking about here? What is the supernatural? The supernatural is the Spirit filling you up with his presence, with the presence of Jesus and with the presence of God. Now, why do I throw the other two in there? Because God is three persons, but one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but one God. So when Jesus says, and I'm in you, that is true because the Spirit representing Christ is in you. And so the supernatural part that Jesus speaks of, that Paul speaks of, that needs to be in your relationship, the I in you part, that when those come together, you have a powerful relationship with God, is the Spirit. Now, secondly, what we need to understand about this sense of a supernatural relationship with God is we now know when it happens, too. We know that when we finally, our pride is broken, when we realize we're broken, and I've said this to you before, and I'll keep saying, I will probably say this to you the last Sunday I would ever speak, and that is that we're all broken. And if you knew what I think sometimes, if you knew what runs through my head sometimes, you would not be sitting here listening to me right now. You just wouldn't. But, if I knew what you think and what you thought sometimes, I wouldn't have let you in this place. And so we're kind of in it together, right? That we're broken. And when we come to that realization, when we're done trying to make this thing happen, like Nicodemus was trying to make it happen, when we're done with that, we're humbled. We're fillable. And we experience the supernatural presence of God in our lives. Now, let's move on to how do we see this sustained? What does it look like? How do I mean, okay, Kevin, I think I'm there. I've been there. What does it look like for that to be an ongoing experience in my life? Because in Paul's command to be filled, it's an ongoing, continuous command, okay? So what does that look like? Well, now I'm going to read to you from a few different places of Scripture. I'm going to read to you from Galatians chapter 5. Listen to Paul's description. In verses 22 and 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, Paul says. So how do I know? What are the marks of the supernatural relationship I have with God? Well, for one, they are the moral virtues that are more delivered than they are manufactured. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But this is a list of virtues that are present in the life of a relationship that has a supernatural component to it that not only has the I am in him, Jesus, but Jesus is in me. When that's working, what you see is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. You see those things. But remember what Paul said, he goes, against such things there is no law. What does he mean by that? He's saying you don't need a law to force you, to manipulate you, to guilt you, even to guide you necessarily, because what's going to come out of you naturally, supernaturally, are these things. Is that happening in your life? Do you see this list as something that goes, wow, you just described me, thank you. Is that going on? I wish it was going on in my life. It's very convicting to read that. But here's the point that's really important. These are virtues that you cannot produce yourself. And we try. We exhaust ourselves trying to do these things. I'll go back to what Jesus said. Remember, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Is that what Jesus said? Did he say produces? What did he say? Bears. Do we know the difference between bearing and producing? Producing is in your own strength. You manufacture it. Bearing is I simply deliver what's been given to me. And that's what we have to understand. Many of us, again, in our attempt to be religious, we try to manufacture these things in our lives and we're exhausted and we're frustrated. And in all honesty, it's not worth the effort. But when we are remaining in him and he's remaining in us and we are open to the supernatural presence of the Spirit of God inside of our lives, these things, my friends, and this is what makes it supernatural, you start to see them come out in your life. And you're not really trying that hard. Most of your effort is going towards the remaining part. Most of your effort is going towards staying connected with God. And as you're doing that, people start to comment on, wow, you seem more patient than I remember. Wow, you're just a really kind person. And you see in your life self-control with your thoughts. Guys, imagine the day where you could walk around and the prettiest girl could walk by and you just see her one time and that's it. You don't picture her again by stepping and looking back. You don't picture her again in your head and start to go in places you don't want to go. Just imagine. You start to recognize, I really feel like my thoughts are more under control. Where is that coming from? My friends, that's supernatural. That's the supernatural presence of God working in your life. Secondly, out of the book of Ezekiel, we're going to go Old Testament on you here. Old Testament, this is God speaking through Ezekiel. He's predicting the day of which we talk about now and are living in. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Secondly, my friends, what happens in a life that is being sustained supernaturally by the presence of the Spirit of God is you start to have affection for the things that are important to God. You start to have a desire for the things that are important to God. Things like you want to read this. You want to understand it. You want to apply it. You want to begin to live out the kingdom dream, not the American dream. And the supernatural part of this is that worldly things that used to mean so much to you, they start to lessen in significance, lessen in importance, and you can't explain it. How do you explain that? You can't explain the supernatural. You can't explain the work of God in your life other than to say, I thank God for that. He's doing a work in me and sometimes despite me. Thirdly, we go to 1 Corinthians. This is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You'll probably get there. I believe these should be showing up on the screen as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul speaks of a wisdom that is unlike worldly wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. So there's spiritual understanding, he's saying. We also speak things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. That last verse I read to you, I'm not old enough to have forgotten what that was like. I remember my mother dragging me to church, and I hated it. I remember sitting there going, when is this going to be over? I looked at the clock, and I'm like, how do people do this? And anything spiritual was just like foolishness to me. I didn't care. And I lived my life in light of that. And then I went off to college. And I was drawn in by some guys where both things were operating and functioning in their lives. They were remaining in Christ, and Christ was remaining in them. And it drew me in. And I began to feel the weight of my brokenness. And I became born again. It wasn't some crazy run around, flopping on the ground like a fish experience. It wasn't like that. It was all of a sudden, these things that I'm speaking to you about just internally started to happen. And I started to be drawn into the things of God. And I've since now that the veil's been taken off my eyes, I see the value of the wisdom of God. And I've sought the rest of my life as I've raised my children, as I've been married for 32 years, I've tried to wisely discern what does God's word say in life's decisions. And that's what happens. Is you when the Spirit of God comes inside of you and you're being engaged and you're remaining in him and he in you, you start to seek and apply God's truth in all of life's decisions. It matters to you. It's not just what does the street say. It's not what's culture say. It is what does God say? And that really somehow now, for some reason I can't explain, it matters to me. And the supernatural part of it is you will seek this and apply this even when it's hard. Even when it's not what you want. Even when other people call you foolish. How do you explain that? It's a supernatural work of God in your life is how you explain it. You can't explain it. But that's how you know that it's happening. Almost there. Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians. If you want to, again, it'll pop up on the screen. But if you want to see Ephesians, we're going to read the verses immediately following the one I read to you previously. And I'll start with the one I read to you previously. Jesus, or Paul says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit. And then he describes, what does that look like? Give me some examples, Paul. Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. I'm asking you, to those of you in here who are born again, does that sound like a foreign thing to you? Does that sound like hyper-spiritualism? Or have you found yourself having a hard time containing the work of God in your life and you want to talk about it? You want to sing about it and sing to him about it? Because Paul is describing someone who has been born again, who has the Spirit of God inside of them, who is in a supernatural relationship with God. They speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. We could talk about this a lot, but let me just say what happens is, and a marker of a supernatural relationship with God, is there is worship in your life. For me, for the longest time, again, this just shows, and this is I've never been one to shy away to share my struggles. For too long, when I became a Christ follower, I showed up just about the time of the teaching. Singing, not my thing. I don't sing well. Believe me, it sounds like something is slowly dying when I sing. It's terrible. Mom, you didn't pass on the singing here. I don't know what happened, all right? There's not a person in the Sullivan family. My daughters can't sing. It's a curse that goes long and far. And so I was self-conscious about singing. Because, you know, then there's those people who have the operatic voices right behind you like, oh, God, thank you. I'm going to throw them off too. You know, you're just like, ugh. But as I began to study, as I began to know God, I couldn't help but do it. I started to sing. And I didn't care what people thought. It was just kind of the spontaneous combustion. Boom, here it comes. It's going to be ugly, but here it comes. Do you sing? Do you worship? Do you worry about what other people are thinking? Or do you just read the words and you think, God, I want you to hear this. Because you can't shut me up because of what you've done in my life and what you're doing in my life. Okay, that, my friends, is a supernatural expression in your relationship with God. Coming down the home stretch, we'll finish with the easiest one. You know when I say that, it always means the opposite. John chapter 13. Jesus says this. Verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, I give you a new command. Love one another Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Notice he says, I give you a new command. And he's saying this to his disciples. His disciples are probably fairly familiar with the Old Testament. They're thinking, I don't think that's new. I remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I remember that. How is this new, Jesus? Well, here's how it's new. He says, as I have loved you. How did Jesus love them? He died for them. His love became sacrificial. His love was not merely expressed in kindness or politeness or friendliness. It was, I will do what it takes to help you. I will love, it will be messy, it will be dirty, it will be difficult, it will cost me something, but I will love you in this way. When you begin, when there's a reorientation in your life away from yourself, you start thinking less about yourself and more about other people, my friends, that is supernatural. You cannot explain that because we are born, we come out of the womb geared for self. And when all of a sudden that changes, and you begin to have thoughts and concerns for other people. You're like, what's happening to me? What's this coming out of my eyes? I don't recognize that. It's God saying, I'm going to share with you something that hurts me. I want you to feel it because I want to use you to help it and fix it and restore it and support it and encourage it. Okay? So it's when you have love for other people more than you love yourself. Something supernatural has happened. So let me finish by challenging you this week in these two ways. First is, would you find some Bible verses about one of these supernatural markers that I spoke of? You can Google it. Just say Bible verse 4, And whatever, if it's love, joy, peace, patience, if it was one of those, or if it was one of the other ones. If you say, this is what's most needed in my life right now, find some Bible verses about them and read them, but then memorize one of them this week. Just set that in your mind. Give the Spirit of God something to work in your mind and in your heart so that supernatural expression and response can come, okay? And then secondly, is to do something for someone else that cost you something this week, but here's the kicker, do it anonymously. Don't let them know. Pay for somebody's meal behind you in a drive-thru or somebody's coffee. Leave something on someone's doorstep with a note of encouragement. Just do something for someone. And the idea is, we're doing the, if you remain in me. That's important. We talked about that last week. And as you do that, if Jesus is remaining in you and you've been born again because you came to that point of realizing your spiritual depravity, you're bankrupt, then when those two come together and you're doing those things, my friends, you will experience the supernatural presence of God in your life. And wouldn't that be awesome if we did it together? Imagine the people we could help and the changes that could happen, right? Sky's the limit on that, my friends. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your patience and love for us. And I pray, Lord God, that we would examine our relationship to those in here who are Christ followers. Father, I pray that if the supernatural is missing or just seems to be flickering, God, please awaken in them the desire for that, the need to maybe have to go back to the basics and just see, have I grabbed control of my life? Have I not stayed in a place of humility and understanding that I am broken apart from you? God, I pray whatever it takes to get them back to where that flame is fanned in their lives, Lord, may it happen. To those in here, Lord God, who are not in relationship with you, who have seen a lot of the one side of people being religious, and it's pushed them away, it's given them a sour taste in their mouths, Lord, may they reconsider, may they understand now how it was always meant to be. And may they see those people that it would point them to you in the way that it pointed me to you back in the day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.